Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Good morning and welcome all to a day that I have no trouble remembering the date. Today is March 11, 2022, and 72 years ago, today, my twin sister and I were born into this world, and we are, and I have to tell you, I am delighted to still be here. There have been a couple of times when I didn't think I'd make it, and so we'll maybe talk about that just a little bit. Before we do that, though, I want to remind you of our websites here at Spirit of Truth Ministry. We have our primary website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling. You will also find a lot of good writing by Rick Sterling, including The Grand Plan and a whole bunch of other ones. And we have suggest that you take a look at that. We also have a secondary website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There you will find lots of good writing by others of us on the staff, including Rick. And we have an archive page from the must read section. There is lots and lots of good things there. So take a look at that. We have a Facebook group page. Is the Spirit of the Church group page, and you can go there, request membership, and you'll be able to stay in touch with us weekly. I post an episode info for every program, and we also post other things as well. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, I welcome you today. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, grant us a joyous and a safe and a happy day as we study your words, from which we learn the truth. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to go over here and click on Dr. Don. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good morning. Wow. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
I know. Other
years used to say today is the birthday of my twin sister.
Yes. I decided not to do that this year just because I wanted to throw a monkey wrench into it. But that little joke still works. Thank you for your birthday wishes. I appreciate it.
I absolutely loved it. Today is the birthday of my twin sister. You have to think that's a time joke. Some people will think about it in the middle of the church and start laughing.
That's about right.
Twin joke. Well, happy birthday. Well, I won't give you any more time. I'm looking forward to a great study.
I think you're going to get one today because we've been working over the prayer of Jonah, which is a very interesting prayer. So good morning, Rick.
Good morning. And welcome, everyone. Yes, Dennis, I don't know why
we thought of it this morning.
Well,
yeah,
or
you did.
Yeah, it's... I've talked about Jonah quite a bit because of the fact that God reserves the right to change his mind, destruction, where sometimes he will say that he is going to destroy a people or a nation. And He does. But sometimes he says, I will destroy a people or a nation, and he doesn't. And why? Is God a God that will say one thing and do another?
Well, the word that comes to mind is capricious.
Yes, capricious is a good word. What is it that God really wants? Are we to think that he is capricious and that he will feel like doing something one day and then the next day, no, I think I'll do something quite the opposite today? So God goes back and forth, and we're not really able to figure out, well, what kind of a God are we going to have today? Or what kind of a God are we going to have a year from now? Does he go back and forth? And the answer is quite clearly and emphatically, no, God never changes. But what God really wants to do, what God has purposed to do and has a plan, a perfect plan, well thought out and well put together, that deals with this situation that has been brought upon this planet by a renegade angel and co-conspirators along with him to foment the coup and take control of this earth. Control as the governing consortium. God does not want to destroy everyone on earth. He wants to save everyone on this earth. The problem that God has is being demonstrated clearly in the world today. Clearly.
Clearly for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Well, and that kind of is a, what would I say, a pretext to this, what I'm going to say. There is right and there is wrong. There is sin and there is righteousness. There is integrity. And what's a good word that's opposite of integrity?
Sleazeball.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking of all kinds of stuff, but I thought there had to be a word. So they call it in this country, the United States, woke and wokeism. It's a state of mind that is impervious to hearing, recognizing, seeing anything that conflicts with the confirmed and immovable belief of the individual. In other words, no amount of truth in evidence has any effect on the confirmed thinking and confirmed beliefs of the individual. And a good example for this are the scribes and the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious authorities, the religious leaders, the religious experts, the theologians in Jerusalem and the land of Israel. Of course, they saw themselves as the representatives of God on earth. And as such, they could not have any flaws. No one could engage them in an argument and successfully prevail. They were the last word in the will of God. They were so entrenched in this thought and so certain of their purpose and their standing and their authority that they took the Son of God who came to testify to the truth that his Father, the God of Israel, had given to him to speak in the hearing of all the people and particularly the religious leaders. And what did the religious leaders do? We only have an account of one of the religious leaders who was a member of that body, Nicodemus. And we know from the very start of the record of that conversation in John chapter 3, the Son of God asked Nicodemus a very basic question. And Nicodemus did not know the answer.
He should have known.
Well, of course, Dennis, that's the whole point.
Right.
This question, well, and it wasn't, he didn't really ask it as a question. He made it as a statement. It was a statement. Except a man be born from above. Why was that the statement? Nicodemus hadn't really asked a question. He just said, we believe that you are someone sent from above. And the statement was made. And Nicodemus' response was a question. How can a man be born again? Must he enter once more into his mother's womb? What I believe, and I am certain about this, that the statement that the Son of God made to Nicodemus, which started their conversation, was the key functional element of the plan that God has to restore this world. And that is God needs a kingdom. God must have a kingdom in order to accomplish what he needs to accomplish to restore his authority over the whole earth. What the devil has done is he has taken that and flipped it around. He says that God has a unconditional love that precludes any condition of the soul of the person, because God loves the sinner. He doesn't love the sin, but he loves the sinner. And that really is smooth. It is nice. It quote unquote tickles the ear. God's love is so great that it makes God impotent when it comes to judgment or entering the kingdom or sin or any of that. It blinds God to sin. And that all one need do is live their life remembering that God is bound and determined to save them. And that as long as they are not some terribly wicked person, God's kingdom, and they will be saved.
They just have to be good. Because no one can be righteous. But if you're good, and if you're sorry for all of the mistakes that you made over and over and over again.
Well,
fine.
Dennis, I see that a little differently. I mean, I know what you're saying, and I see a little bit. They just can't be bad.
Okay.
It's not that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know, they just can't be bad. You know, a sin here or there. Every day. Every day, everybody sins. You see, and that's something that cannot be helped. That is not what God has ever let any of his prophets, his messengers, he has never told any of them that. That's all been made up. God wants people in his kingdom. But you don't enter the kingdom by saying, I believe in God. You don't enter the kingdom by praying, God, please put me in your kingdom. You don't enter the kingdom by saying, God, thank you for overlooking my sin. You enter the kingdom the way that the Son of God told Nicodemus that you enter the kingdom. And that is this, and I will read it from John 3. Starting with verse 5, Jesus replied, I tell you most solemnly, unless a man is born through water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the spirit. So what have people done? They have said that they have had a spirit birth. They can give you the time, the date, and the location when this happened. What is the confirmation of that? The confirmation of that is that the individual then no longer believes in, practices, or worships lies. You cannot be born of the Spirit of God and worship lies. You say, well, I don't worship lies. If you are worshiping in the belief that God allows sin and sinners into his kingdom, you have not been born of the Spirit, because that is a lie. The Son of God was testifying to the truth and teaching the people at the time when he was here on earth. And among his disciples, the 12, there were no religious leaders. There were no theologians carrying the certificate of authority to teach spiritual matters. None of the disciples had graduated from an accredited theological seminary. And none of those who had graduated from an accredited school of theology at the time accepted the Son of God as a valid teacher, at the least, and certainly not their hoped for and expected Messiah. And what would make us think that that would be any different today? When the Messiah returns, why is it? When he returns, what will he find? Well, I'll tell you, when the Messiah returns, he's not coming here looking for people to bring into his kingdom. He comes to those who are in his kingdom. God has never allowed sin germinate and grow in his kingdom. And the only way that sin can germinate and grow in his kingdom is if he allows sinners into his kingdom. And there isn't a doorway to the kingdom where someone can ask for forgiveness of sin, go in through the door into the kingdom, and then the next day go out the door, sin a little bit, ask for forgiveness, come back into the kingdom, then go back out the door the next day and sin a little bit and then ask for forgiveness. But this is what happens. Every time the sinner prays, the sinner asks for forgiveness of sin. They don't typically mention what the sin was.
It's a catch-all. And one of the things that I notice is that when someone makes a mistake, and all of us make mistakes, when someone makes a mistake and then asks for forgiveness for, and then is shown that that was a sin, and asks forgiveness for that sin, God forgives him. No question. If they make that same sin again, it is not a mistake. It's a choice. And God cannot forgive that. Now, he does, because people grow in their knowledge of how this all works. But righteousness is the goal. Righteousness is not a mythical, ethereal, pie-in-the-sky thing. God comes to a righteous kingdom.
Well, what God wants, and I don't want you to misunderstand me, this is a process that we all go through.
Right.
God wants us, righteousness is. The practice of righteousness is not impossible, otherwise God would not require it. It's the devil who says that no one is able to live a righteous life. From what I understand from the Bible, Enoch lived a righteous life. Daniel lived a righteous life. And I know there were others who lived a righteous life. Righteous in fact, not in faith. God were to allow sinners in his kingdom, how could he use that kingdom to go against a kingdom that is full of lies? If his kingdom is full of lies and he needs that, he needs to have a kingdom so that he can defeat the kingdom that is full of lies, what is the difference between his kingdom and the other kingdom?
Nothing. It's the same.
You remember what he said about lies. And I know people say, I don't believe a lie. I believe what's in the Bible. And the Bible doesn't have lies. The Bible is the Word of God. And if that's what you firmly believe without question, then
you have been caught in a lie.
There's no help for
that's
you.
That's right.
In John 8, the religious authorities spat back in his face these words. We are descended from Abraham, and we have never been slaves of anyone. What do you mean? You will be made free. Free from what? You will be made free. Free from what? Well, sin, right? What is sin? That's the question. What is the answer? We read on. I tell you most solemnly, everyone who commits sin is a slave. A slave? Now, the slave's place in the house is not assured, but the son's place in the house is assured. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Now, if you stopped reading there, and if he stopped speaking there, you'd go, there it is, right there. He's made me a son.
And by the way, millions of Christians do stop there.
He didn't stop there. I know you are descended from Abraham, But in spite of that, you want to kill me because nothing I say has penetrated into you. That's what I was talking about earlier. What I, for my part, speak of is what I have seen with my father, but you put into action the lessons learned from your father. They repeated, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do as Abraham did. As it is, you want to kill me when I tell you the truth." When I tell you the truth. Why would they want to kill him? Because he's telling them the truth. What is it that they believe then? Because the truth does not kill the truth. What is it that seeks to kill the truth? Look around you in the world today. What is being censored? Lies? Who's being imprisoned?
Posted a meme on our Spiritual Community group page on March 6th. And it says, "The only people mad at you for speaking the truth are those living a lie."
And loving the lie they're living.
Yes.
Then they retorted, "We were not born of prostitution." They went on, "We have one Father, God." God. God is our Father. Jesus answered, "If God were your Father, you would love me." Well, is that it? All we need to do is say that we love the Son of God. We love the Son of God, and therefore that makes God our Father, right? Wrong. "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you keep my commandments, you show that you love me. "You would love me since I have come here from God." Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No, I was sent and by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language. What he's saying there is that their minds had been completely reprogrammed or had been completely programmed to automatically resist and fight against the truth. To them, the lies that they had been taught were the truth. The truth came, they wanted to kill it. That's what lies do. Then he goes on to say, and we're in verse 44, "The devil is your father." Now, what does he mean by that? The devil didn't give them birth. Their mothers and fathers conceived them from birth. But he says, why can you not take in what I say? The devil is your father, and you prefer to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he's drawing on his own store because he is a liar and the
father
of lies. Now that seems pretty clear, doesn't it, Dennis? The father of lies. So those who believe in, worship, and practice lies, who's their father? Not my words. Not my words, the Son of God's words. Who is their father? Dennis, quit playing on that computer.
I don't know. Never mind.
Never fails. Never fails. It never fails. Are we still on?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay.
Just keep going.
Now, how does this tie in with what I was just saying earlier about Nicodemus' question and what the Son of God said about entering the kingdom of God and the need to be born from above? He goes on to say, "But as for me, I speak the truth, and for that reason you do not believe me. Can one of you convict me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me?" A child of God listens to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, it is because you are not God's children. When he spoke to Nicodemus, he said that you must be born of the water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now, you must be born of the water to see it, which means that you see it afar, but you need to go to it. And the process of going from where you are spiritually when you're baptized to the kingdom where your destination is called the sanctification process. The Holy Spirit will help you all along. That's one of her duties that she has here, is to help us get to the kingdom and to enter the kingdom. But this is a spiritual process. It's not some place that we have to get into a car or get on an airplane and fly to. This is, you see this in your mind. What are you seeing? What we're seeing is, we're seeing the kingdom of righteousness, and we want to enter it. It's the kingdom of God. We want to enter it. So the Holy Spirit says, I will bring you there, but the process is you must learn the truth. What? Wait, but that, I don't want to learn the truth. I'm happy with what I have, and it's the truth for me. This is my truth. And she says, well, until you decide that you want to learn what the truth is, I can't help you. But I'm here to help you when you make that decision.
And it is not an easy process. The goal of the process of sanctification is what the word sanctification is. And you just said it, it's righteousness. God is coming for a righteous kingdom, in fact, not by dint of faith, through grace.
Well, and I know that people say, Rick, aren't you being kind of presumptuous? I mean, who told you that you were righteous?
Well, wait, aren't you being presumptuous in thinking that you don't have to become righteous.
You see, righteousness, the devil has worked this perfectly. It's, you know, it's remarkable to me, but I know that he's probably the most intelligent created being ever. When he can make us not want to learn righteousness and to convince us that anyone who would even think to try to learn righteousness is the worst kind of sinner that there is, because they're seeking to do it on their own and they are trying to be saved with their own righteousness.
And by the way,
and by that, they don't need Jesus, because if you think you can get into the kingdom on your own righteousness, that is the height of hubris.
And there you go. There is the big lie. Because when did Jesus ever say that you had to do this alone? You have to do it yourself, but you're not alone doing it.
Well, but what I'm saying is that we are accountable to God for our soul. Our soul is a gift. It's a gift from God. Our life is a gift from God. It's not ours. It's his. You die, what happens?
It goes back to him.
He keeps it. That's it's right. His. It's not ours. It's his. What he has done is he has given us the responsibility of doing with our soul what he requires from everyone's soul. We are accountable to God for our soul, our spirit, our heart, whatever you want to refer to it as. It is what makes us who we are. And God fully intended for the people of this world to live as righteous beings. Now, what does righteous mean? Because I think the meaning, the true meaning of righteousness has become something really twisted and distorted. All righteousness is doing what is right.
Doing the right thing.
Doing what is right. So if you learn the truth and you live the truth, you are righteous. That's all. It's very, very simple. If you learn the truth, and learning the truth is a very important part of the process. And God looks at those who are in process of learning the truth as righteous, because that's where they're moving toward. What is that? Well, you know, how can you do that? Blamelessness. Right? John chapter 10. And let's see. John chapter 9, sorry. Then we'll start with verse 35, and this is where the Son of God healed the man born blind, and the big to-do and investigation that the religious leaders did in regards to that, starting in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had driven him away, the man born blind that he had given his sight to. And when he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Sir," the man replied, "tell me who he is so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You are looking at him. He is speaking to you." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and worshiped him. Jesus said, "It is for judgment that I have come into this world, so that those without sight may see, and those with sight turn blind." Hearing this, some Pharisees who were present said to him, "We are not blind, surely." Jesus replied, "Blind, if you were, you would not be guilty. But since you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains."
In the New American Standard, it uses the word sin there. If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, "We see," your sin remains.
So I use this when I'm talking about people who have made the decision and have the determination to start, paid in, and complete the sanctification process. And all that is learning the truth and living according to the truth. That's all it is. And if you've started the process, if you have started the process and you're in process, then he sees you like those who don't have sight but are working toward the full light of righteousness, and that is right doing. And by that, that's how you enter the kingdom. Because when you have learned the truth, you are born of your teacher, the Holy Spirit. That's your graduation.
So until you are born again, you are in process. That process is when you enter the kingdom of heaven and you move toward the kingdom of God.
Your water baptism is you are now going into the kingdom of the heavens to learn the truth.
Right.
That's the same thing as God taking the Israelites out of Egypt, passing them through the water that he had divided out into the wilderness. He gave them the law and the covenant. And they were to learn the truth so that they could be the kingdom of God, a holy nation. Tell me, what is a holy nation? Is it a nation of sinners? Call a nation of sinners holy. Because what does holy mean?
Well, it means set apart. So there could be a nation that is set apart for evil. And by the way, have we seen any of that today?
So don't recoil when I say God requires those who are in his kingdom to be doing right, to be living according to the truth. If the truth weren't, he would not have sent his son. He would have just had him, he would have just put him to death, and after that, everybody would be saved.
Didn't Jesus just say that it is for this reason, that this judgment that I came to this earth? And what people do is they use John 3:16 as their entire spiritual identity.
Well, some go to 17 also, but yes.
Okay. But they never go to 19, 20, and 21. Because if they did, that would put, really, it would put the kibosh on the idea of righteousness by faith through grace. I'm going to read it. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. What is the light?
Truth.
Truth. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. And you see, if you are living the truth, does it matter if your deeds are exposed? No.
No. In fact, you want your deeds to be exposed.
John 3:21, but he who practices the truth. Now, by the way, I like that word practice there. My dad was a physician and he practiced medicine for his entire adult life. You were a nurse. You practiced nursing. And I used to think, well, when are they ever going to get good? I mean, if they're just keep, you know,
when
continue.
Do they not need to practice?
When do they anymore? Not need to practice anymore? And then I thought about my music career. You practice when you, the only practice that works is perfect practice. So he who practices the truth, and is truth perfect? Yes. Comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. When we practice the truth because the truth is perfect, and therefore our practice becomes perfect.
And you can't practice the truth if you're practicing lies at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In Revelation 12:17, this is the statement that pulls together everything that I have said. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went away to make war on the rest of her children, that is, all who obey God's commandments. Now, I've heard people wiggle and squirm their way around what that word commandments is. Well, as I says, he commanded us to love one another. So I love everybody. I love, you know, but that was his, you know, his commandment. No, it's the same commandments that he gave to the children of Israel in the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land. Same commandments that he required them to keep.
In the hopes that they, by keeping those commandments, would become his kingdom.
Well, if they would keep the commandments, they would be
a righteous kingdom.
A right-doing nation. But he didn't stop there. He said, and bear witness or hold to the testimony and bear witness to the testimony of the Son of God. Now, that is what the Son of God said he came down here to do, to testify to the truth. Now, I know there are people who say that, well, he came down here and he testified to the truth, and then he was put to death on a cross and he was resurrected, so I don't need to know the truth. He is my truth. I have accepted him. He is my truth. Not realizing that is not what he said. And those who are of the truth hear my testimony.
I'll read that.
And John goes through too. John makes a big deal about you can't be, you know, if you don't hold to the truth, you're not of God.
Read that, John 18:37. You should read verse 36 too, because it's a good setup. But verse 37, therefore Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, You say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. He did not say to teach you to live by faith through grace. He didn't say that. He said, for this reason I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is already of the truth hears my voice.
Or open to the truth.
Yeah, they're already open. They're already of the truth.
So here's the thing.
It doesn't mean they know all the truth, but they want to.
God has let us know that he needs to defeat the kingdom of lies. And the kingdom of lies is ruled by the devil. The kingdom of lies can be any type of individual or group. They can be loving and kind and humanitarian and so on, or they can be evil and wicked and murderous and all of the terrible, awful things. They have one thing in common. They hold to and practice lies and lying. If God filled his kingdom with well-meaning people who believed lies, how could he defeat the kingdom of lies with a kingdom of lies?
Can't happen.
You see, he doesn't gather all of his people together and say, take up arms, we're going to go defeat the kingdom of the devil. Spiritual. You can't enter the kingdom of God believing in, practicing, worshiping, and holding to lies. You can't. It's not possible. That what God is going to ultimately do is fill his kingdom with those who love, practice, believe, and worship the truth. That's how he's going to, that is how his kingdom will grow, is that it grows by those who learn the truth, enter his kingdom. It doesn't grow by those who believe that God doesn't care whether they know the truth and practice the truth. All they need to do is say, God, I love you and I want to be in your kingdom. But no, that doesn't work, my friends. We are in the days of Elijah.
And we are seeing the kingdom of the world being defeated by the kingdom of righteousness, even though they don't know it yet. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you for being here today. Our program will be on tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time, and it is called The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Please go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a great day, and we'll see you all tomorrow. So long for now.